I remember when I was a child living in New York, my father would pick me up and put me on top of his shoulders and run me around the apartment. And I remember as he would do this, I would grab hold of his beard and I would hold on for dear life. And when I think back to this, I know it must have been excruciatingly painful for him. Yet in those moments, I just knew that my father loved me. The Bible describes God as three co-eternal persons. There's God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and then there's God the Father. Did you know that God is the eternal Father? And I can already hear you saying to me, how can I relate to God as Father? My father was never around, or my father was abusive, or my father abandoned me when I was a child, or I don't even know who my father is. Please hear me. If that is you, God says to you today, no, I am not your earthly father. I am your heavenly father. And when the Bible describes what your heavenly father is like, it says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. He loved you so much that the Bible says in John 3:16 that God gave his only son, that if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. He's your eternally loving Father, and he will neither abandon, abuse, or leave you. He says to you today, I am your Father.
Hey, good evening, gang, and welcome to our Believers Church Wednesday Rewind. This is where we come together each week to look back and seek the application of our last Sunday's text. And this previous Sunday, we were in Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 20. Let's seek the Lord and we'll jump into this, all right? Father, may you bless us this evening that what we go through here is more than just an exercise in religion, but that we really take your words, the words of the true and living God, and apply them to our lives, that we might know you more, that we might fulfill our destiny, our created purpose on this planet. Thank you for allowing us this access to you, and that the throne room of heaven is open to us. We rejoice in that this evening, and we thank you again for your presence here. Open up our hearts now to receive what you have out of your word. And we praise your name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. As we deal with this issue of the echo of my father, throughout Scripture, you see, we are presented with a picture of our Creator God as Father. In the Old Testament, we see God as the Father of Israel and Israel as his Son. Indeed, the Jews of Jesus' day were certainly loath to call God their Father and actually were angry at Jesus for doing so. But that did not stop Jesus from claiming God as his Father and his teaching his followers to do the same. I think Christians today take it for granted that God is our Father, but I also think that few people really stop to think what that really means. I mean, we know that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father. And that word Father is the Aramaic word Abba, Father. And it's actually one of the few Aramaic words that Jesus used, and certainly one of the few that has remained untranslated in our New Testament. The deeper the meaning and the wider applications of this term Father are largely unknown today, because so widespread and so generally accepted has the name Father become that we really no longer question it, and we so often fail then to realize how important it is for our understanding of our God. Paul the Apostle, the writer of the book of Ephesians, had already in this letter actually, the image of God as Father to these believers there in the city of Ephesus. He wrote in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he said, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named." The greatest glory of God is not that he is huge, is not that he is far from us or far beyond us. The greatest glory of God is actually that he is one who is both high and lifted up, who created all things, but he needs nothing, and that that glorious God also chose to become our intimate Father, to relate to us personally, to relate to us intimately, to lovingly adopt us as his children forever. Pastor Tim Keller out in New York, he says this. He says, "The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child, and we have that kind of access." This astonishing rite of entry into the presence of God, hey, this isn't a minor emphasis in the gospel, not at all. In fact, it is the heart of the message of the gospel. J.I. Packer said, "To those who are Christ, the Holy God is a loving Father. They belong to his Father. They may approach him without fear and always be sure of his fatherly concern and care." This is the heart of the New Testament message. As I mentioned on Sunday when we were focusing on this passage in Ephesians, that we often, to our own detriment, tend to lose that intimate heart of the gospel somewhere in the vast muddle of denominational and doctrinal nuances. We inevitably find ourselves majoring in the minors when it comes to religion and separating, really and frankly, over the most ridiculous of issues. If we boil down all the discipleship elements, however beneficial and righteous they might be, it all comes back to this. Be like Dad. Be like Dad. Now, sadly, many of us just do not know that kind of intimate relationship with God. In fact, we have over time instead developed rather a distant relationship. One based upon need and situation and discipline. We tend to feel God more than know him. Yet our Father says in Jeremiah 24:7, he said, "I will give them a heart to know me. To know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart." Our cultural struggle today is the tendency to create what I would call a designer Lord, a designer Savior, a personal Jesus, if you will. The band Depeche Mode had a song back in 1989 and entitled and had lyrics that say, "Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares, someone who's there." It was certainly a rather satirical overt reach into what was generally a quiet and private practice in those days, until Depeche Mode came along anyway and dragged that practice out into the light of day. Today, that practice is clearly out there in the realm of normal, if not accepted, practice. Now we practice the buffet line faith, the practice of shopping for elements and aspects of God that we like, those that fit our lifestyles, those that fit our personal desires, and then we cram them all together into a Frankenstein faith. It actually reminds me of another song, a country song, one by Johnny Cash, about how over years he stole a Cadillac piece by piece while working on the assembly line. The song goes, he got it one piece at a time, and it didn't cost him a dime. And eventually, the song goes that he put it all together into a monster version of a Cadillac But hey, it was his and it was free. And I think for many of us, that's exactly what we're trying to do with God. What we end up with is an unsightly, to say the least. It's parts of a whole lot of stuff all crammed together into what is just simply a mess. But hey, it's ours and it's free, right? But the thing about him being our Father is that it clearly draws us into the realm of the quote-unquote package deal. He's Dad. Mine, personally, on this earth would love me and encourage me and teach me and support me and feed me and clothe me. And he would seriously discipline me if it was called for. And often that discipline, frankly, caused me some pain. And yet he said that he loved me, and I believed it. And this is our Father that is also presented in Scripture. And I believe his attempt is to actualize and clarify his righteous relationship with us as children, even if we don't particularly like all of his methods or we're comfortable with all of the outcome. This is no designer father. This is the authentic package deal. Scripture herein speaks of the wrath of God in our passage. The wrath of God that is exercised against those who would deceive and even attempt to deceive God's children. Again, like a perfect father, his attitude is that you don't want to mess with his kids. He's very serious about this. He is clearly very jealously guarding his children. So he says, you mess with those kids, wrath, hey, that's a serious word when God says, I will exercise my wrath. Especially when you're speaking of such in the realm of God. Because, man, he's got the mo to make it happen, gang. And trust me, that's going to leave a mark. Now, it's true that many of us have a heavenly father of some sort. Often, at a glance, it kind of looks like the real thing. But then you look a little deeper and you find out when it comes to quality and when it comes to endurance, well, our version of father is just a cheap knockoff. It's just a knockoff designed to look and feel like the real thing. But, you know, we want the appearance, we want the usability, but not the cost. The essence behind the true relationship with our Heavenly Father is his great desire that we grow up to be like him, that we model our life and living after that of Jesus Christ. Now, this phenomenon actually happens quite naturally and quite organically, and really, again, only requires one crucial step to see it happen, and it involves proximity. Let me ask you this. Where is Dad in your life? Are you up close? Are you spending all your time with him and because of your love and your admiration, you have a single passion to grow up to be just like him? Or are you really just spending your time with Dad, living in a juvenile tantrum and rebellion, trying so very hard to get away with as much as you possibly can? Throughout the New Testament, we are called to walk in the love of God, to move, to serve, to sacrifice, to give, to seek, to apply, to abide. And all of those things have one innate attribute, and that is they are all calls to action. All calls to move. Look, there is nothing passive about a relationship with Dad. Throughout this passage this week, we have had a hard-hitting and personally challenging call from this, well, Father. Our Father desires us to grow up, to put on our big boy pants, and to grow to be men and women, to put down the spiritual video games, to to put down the spiritual pacifiers in order to pick up the attributes and practices and, yes, blessings of spiritual adulthood. Hey, but you know, one thing is made emphatically clear. He so loves us. And he loves us not just as a creator, but as a father. He loves us as his very children. But the question tonight is that the dad you want? Is that the relationship you want to have with the living God, who has created all the stars and all the heavens and has made him small enough to be our dad, to be our father, and to love us in that respect? Hey, for those of you going into small groups now out there, may God bless you, and may you find the impact of this passage. If you're out on the internet, if you're in the web, you're listening on the radio, may God bless you, and you are always welcome to be with us on Sundays. Our doors are always open, but we're glad you're with us this evening. We pray that you just take some time and consider these things as we go back to music on 101.7 radio and back to the world as we know it. Is your dad there with you? Because he's here with me. May God bless you.